Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're headed to the surface of the planet Mars with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black, and the Things He Can InSight probe. Long ago, InSight exceeded everybody's expectations. Then it got off entirely into a new world of generating a mysterious power that was supposed to die weeks ago. What's happened, Bob?
InSight's solar panels are kind of covered with dust, and it's the power it can generate to run the lander on Mars has been declining steadily since it landed. They always hoped that a dust devil would blow across it. They had a good track record from Spirit and Opportunity that said such a thing should happen, but it hasn't happened. InSight is probably located in a place where you just don't get a lot of dust devils. And so since May, June, they've been saying that this thing is going to die relatively soon. And then a dust storm occurred, which even cut the power even more back in September. And they were saying in September that we've only got a matter of weeks to go. And they basically shut everything down but the seismometer, which is still getting data. But they won't go into safe mode. Anything goes wrong, the thing dies. And they have a policy now that if they fail to have communications with InSight 2 consecutive scheduled sessions in a row, they're going to shut the thing. They're going to say it's dead. They're not going to try anymore. They're going to consider it dead. But I keep track of this. They keep sending updates on its power levels, and I have a graph on Behind the Black, which shows that it's still alive. It's still alive now weeks after they said it would probably die. And so it's still drawing enough power to run the seismometer. If the dust in the atmosphere would clear, it might get a little bit more power. But the trouble is, for that dust to clear, it's going to settle on the solar panels, which is only going to reduce their capability of producing power. So we are looking at a limited lifespan. That dust devil could happen. It might still happen. If it just happens once, it would be enough to save the lander. But we're still looking at a momentary death any time now. It's a day-to-day thing, John.
Have we learned anything about the dust on Mars and the dust devils and the occasional storms? Can we enhance these probes so that we could clean our own windshields?
Everybody, I can't tell you the number of times people comment, why don't they put windshield wipers on those things? And, you know, this is a weight consideration when you launch. You only have so much weight that you can put on the spacecraft, and they make decisions. And the nominal mission for InSight, it's well past. They've lasted a lot longer than they originally planned. And so in the sense that they planned this for a certain amount of time, and they survived it and gone beyond it. If they were lucky with a dust devil, or which was not considered unreasonable based on the experience with Spirit and Opportunity for a decade, the thing could keep going. It's a weight issue. Now, you know, if you get Starship flying and you can put lots of poundage up into space very easily to Mars, then these issues go away. And one of the simple solutions, which you do with Curiosity and Perseverance, you use RGP nuclear power source, which doesn't run out and doesn't depend on solar panels and doesn't get covered with dust. That's another solution. It's an engineering, you know, cost-benefit analysis thing, and you make your choices, and that's just simply the way
we go to Curiosity, still in the game, but Curiosity's wheels have long been a subject for Bob. Bob, we have simultaneous stories. One, I should worry. The other, I shouldn't worry. Which way do I go?
Yes. As Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. The issue here is, what is the condition of Curiosity's wheels? Have they gotten worse in the last 3 months since the last camera survey of the wheels? And so they're doing the most recent camera survey, and the first few images that came down, I posted yesterday an image that really looked horrible. It looked like really things were really bad. And then I posted today further images, and this was a good setup because it was of a wheel that I've been tracking now since 17. machine. So you can see how much damage is accumulated. And in truth, this wheel has held up pretty good for almost the entire last 5 years. In August did I see additional damage pretty much for the first time in 5 years. Well, no additional damage since August on that particular wheel. The other photos that looked horrible was of a middle wheel of Curiosity 6 that has some very bad damage, but it appears that that damage isn't necessarily new damage. It's just that wheel has been bad for a while. So the news is that these wheels are concerned. They are a concern. We're going through extremely rough territory, and we will be probably for the rest of the mission. And so watching these wheels on a regular basis is going to be necessary. At the same time, the policies they put in place early in the mission when they realized the wheels were wearing out quicker than expected seems continue to work, whereby they pick their path more carefully to avoid sharper rocks, and then the rover itself has software to stop it if it thinks it's going on a rock that's too sharp. And the combination of that criterion and software has more or less worked to protect the wheels, even in the rougher terrain they've been traveling for the last year and a half.
All right, another worry. Lucy, outbound, solar arrays. They're still trying. Have they succeeded?
Nope, they haven't succeeded, but they're still trying, and they might actually succeed eventually. They've got time to do this. One of the two fan-shaped solar panels on Lucy, it's heading to the Trojan asteroids that orbit in near Jupiter. It's going to see about, 10 asteroids, a dozen, I'm not sure the number. One of those fan-shaped solar panels did not open all the way and latch, and they've been attempting multiple times over time, very carefully, to see if they can pull it open the whole way and latch it. And they tried again on November 7th. They sensed the vibration that they didn't like, so they stopped. The vibration was not from the deployment effort, but it's a piece of information that they're going to look at. They're still trying. The fact is the deployment is about more than 90%, and they get more than 90% of the power anticipated, so they think the mission can function with the deployment as it is, but they'd like to get it all the way, and so they keep working on it.
It's not the asteroid with our name on it. It's the one that says to whom it may concern. And now we have reason to believe we can pick up an asteroid inbound within moments of saying goodbye to each other. Is that the idea, Bob?
Yes. Amateur astronomers have been trying to do this for several years, and they have succeeded a number of times. But for the sixth time this past weekend, amateur astronomers were able to identify and spot a meteorite, a small asteroid, actually, less than 3 feet across, just before it was going to hit the Earth's atmosphere. And so they actually were able to get images of this asteroid and where it came from before it became a meteorite and burned up in the atmosphere over Canada. Some pieces, most of the pieces they think landed in Lake Ontario, but some might have landed along the south coast of the lake on land. And that's good if they can find them, because picking up asteroid pieces right after landing from an asteroid you know where it came from is really helpful for the scientists. And so that's the story there, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.